get ready for AppleViz Unleashed. What is it? This is a monthly podcast dealing with everything Apple, what's new in technology, accessibility, and much, much more. Thomas Domville, Mike Malarcy, and yours truly, Randy Rusnak. We share our opinions. There's no right or wrong. Sometimes we even have fun with it. Please tell others about it. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. AppleViz Unleashed.
Hey, everybody. I'm Thomas Domville, also known as Anonymous here. Bring you a brand new cast that AppleViz is bringing on board. It is called AppleViz Unleashed. This is going to be a monthly cast that we're going to review and discuss about various Apple and AppleViz news, along with some listener questions that we pick from the AppleViz website that people have asked. And we thought we'd be prudent to the community that they may like to know what the answer is to those questions. So, with this new cast of the AppleViz Unleashed for January 2018, there are some new voices for the team, and I am so excited and happy to bring on those new voices with me today. And so let me introduce you to them. A lot of you probably have heard of these two guys. And without further ado, to my virtual left, let's go with Mike Malarcy. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing awesome. I'm super excited to be back on the mic and be involved. So thank you for having me. I'm really excited to do this.
Hey, man, it's been a while since we heard from you, and so I thought it's a good time to bring you back and get you back in the loop with the community.
Absolutely. I'm due. It's been too long.
Oh, yeah, it's been. And without any introduction, the troublemaker of the team would be Randy Rusnak. How you doing, Randy?
I'm doing really well, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks, Randy. I appreciate you coming on, too. This is going to be a fun cast. And, as I told these two guys, we're just going to just take this. We're just going to lay back and just chit-chat and just talk about the various things that's gone on the past month. And just kind of pick our brains and see what we think. You know, this is I wanted this to be a little different so we could just not only discuss about things, but discuss it for real, you know, honest
intelligently
stuff.
Intelligently.
So.
Well, we'll try.
Yeah, sort of intelligently.
And I got to say, it's nice to be on the other side of a mic for a change.
Yeah? Well, that's what you're... Okay. Hey, you know, so we have the first runner-up I thought we'd talk about is the new iOS 11.2.5 that just dropped, and with that, it does fix one new thing. I don't think it was a bug, really. I think it was more of an improvement for those with AirPods that you were able to hear the battery level before, but somehow they found something else they just want to improve on, so you could be able to hear to check the battery level, which I don't own an AirPod. Either of you own one?
No.
Oh, I do. Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I love them too.
Seriously.
Yeah, they're great. For whatever reason, the Apple headphones stay in my ears way better than anything else I've ever owned. I've got kids and dogs and stuff, so anytime I get the headphones with the little squishy things on the ends, they always get lost. And these don't have them. Love it. And they're just so easy to use. I do everything from working out to running, everything, and they've never fallen out. I'll fall asleep with them in my ears and wake up in the morning, they're still there. They're great.
Are you serious, really?
Because that's they're fantastic.
Thing I was thinking is that not only do I look like Spock, but I mean, I would figure those things fall out all the time, but I've
the
heard
only
people say
time,
it sticks in.
Yeah, no, they're great. The only time they've ever fallen out is when one of my kids attacks me and hits them, and then they fly out, and then we get to do a little treasure hunt. But for most people with a normal life, it's not a problem.
Huh.
There actually is a friend of ours here. It wasn't anything severe, but she was on a run and got hit by a car, and her shoes came off, but her headphones, her AirPods stayed in. She's fine. But
I shouldn't laugh, but you know, that's an interesting analogy. Her shoes flew off, but her pods stayed in.
I laughed too. I said Apple needs to make that a commercial because that's a pretty good endorsement.
Wow. She was hit by a car and still had a man.
Yeah.
That is amazing. So did you notice, since I didn't have one, I mean, were you able to hear the battery level? I mean, it told you verbally what the battery level is?
If you open, so if you have your phone unlocked and open the case right there by it, a little screen would pop up, like a little dialogue kind of window. You can just check it right there. For the most part, though, I kind of have my system down, I guess, where generally I just have one at a time unless I'm working out. And I'll just leave it in there until I hear the little beep that the battery's getting low. And then I'll swap them out. So I never really checked it a ton on my phone. Just because I didn't really use them a bunch. Like, it was, the battery life has never really been a major issue for me.
So let me ask you while we're on this subject. Are you able to test the battery level using Siri?
Yeah, I actually did that this morning just to see if I could.
Cool.
Because I put one in and it made the low battery sound like, and I thought, oh, that's not right. So I checked it. I just said, hey, Siri, what's my headphone battery at? And she's like, 99%.
Yeah, that's really neat because I've got several speakers and you can do that with Siri too. You can ask for speaker battery statuses. That's really cool.
It's great. Yeah. Great.
Oh, I had no idea you could ask her that. Now, is that just Bluetooth specific items, or?
I would imagine so.
I think so. I've only ever tried it with the AirPods.
Yeah, I've tried it with my Altec Lansing speakers, and it will do that. Or I should say speaker, which is just a great speaker, by the way. But I was able to do that. Yep.
That is cool. See, we learned something new here. And
not only that, Thomas, but what we can actually do is I recently got an Apple Watch, and I'm able to check status. First, it gives me, like, I can say, what is my watch battery status, and it'll tell me. And after it gets done telling me that, it'll say what my phone status is as well. I don't know if you guys knew that, but or you can flip-flop them around and do just the opposite.
I have messed with the notification center, where you can set the widgets or whatever they even call them. And I used to have all my battery, Apple Watch, AirPods, everything right up at the top. So I could just swipe down from the top of the screen and flip through all of them right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very cool.
Lots of ways to do it.
It is. And I guess another thing that came with the 12 or 11.2.5 was the fact that it fixed a nasty little message bug that I did test it with my sister, and it worked perfectly. I was like, oh, good. You know, who else can I test it with, you know, but my sisters, you know? I have two sisters, so I gotta stay on top of this, you know? And so here's the story. There was this flaw that it was a big one, too. If somebody would send you a particular message to you by iMessage, it would just lock your phone up. I mean, just freeze it. Just boom. And sometimes it locked it hard enough that it would just reboot. And I thought, this is interesting. And the thing is that you didn't have to read it to have this occur. As soon as you send it, it's just like, boom. And so I said, well, I should test this. And so I did it to my sister. I said, okay, he's got this set up. And I sent it to my sister. And a couple minutes later, she calls me back. She says, what did you do? I said it must work. Have you guys heard about this bug?
Absolutely.
I have not. I saw that they fixed it, and I was a little bit disappointed. It's like, oh, man, now I can't use it. Like, I had the same thought you did. I've got four sisters. I could have had a ton of fun. But I was just a little bit behind the curve.
So
I know.
You're talking about iPhone to iPhone. In other words, iMessaging. Whenever you sent a message, it would lock up?
Yes. So it will only occur from Apple to Apple, from iMessage to iMessage, and it was something to do with the message itself. It has some scripts coding in it that all I have to do is just send it to you, Randy, and as soon as you hear a ding, you get a message, it just locks your phone up.
I don't get it because I've sent people all kinds of messages, you know, and I know they have iPhones, and the circles that I travel in, it didn't happen.
You got to get that magic phrase.
Yeah, you didn't use the. It's just a specific message you had to send. It's very specific.
What is the specific message?
I don't know. It's some big long gibberish thing that I copied and pasted from an article that says to try. And so I took that and I pasted it in my message, and my first victim or my first one to see if it worked was my sister.
But why even mention it? I don't mean mention it here, but why would someone mention it if it's just a specific coating? It's like the reason I'm mentioning this is because people through lists and things like that send crashes to Eloquence and it crashes the machine. So are they doing it just to prove that it worked?
Yeah.
Some people just like to cause chaos.
I gotcha.
Yeah. It's just some random dude trying to figure out how to bring down Apple and find all the bugs in it. Who knows? Maybe he got paid for this. I don't know. Maybe, you know, sometimes they got that reward system. You can find a bug, they may pay you for something, for security vulnerability or something. Who knows? But
all right,
I only mentioned it because it was fun. I did it to my sister.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then lastly, now, it wasn't specifically to 11.2.5, but during the beta, they decided to release it to everybody. But it has something to do with some new Siri commands that is coming out for the new HomePod, but you can use your iPhone.
Yep.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is really cool, because I don't know if you guys ever heard of Hourly News app.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yep, I remember that one.
And so I use that just to listen to the different news, and so I can just see what's going on for the day, right? And so it's like updated every hour and stuff. Now I can just get rid of that app. I think it's a 99-cent app, and so I feel bad for him, because now you can just ask Siri what's in the news, and it will automatically pop up NPR news, what's new, and it's the same cast that I hear on Hourly News. And then while she's talking, I can say switch to CNN, or I can say switch to something else, and it will do that. And it's not just specific to the news. You can say what's in the music news, what's the sports news. And I don't know if you guys tried that or have heard about that.
I've heard about it, but I haven't tried it. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I haven't tried it yet, and I was wondering, and I don't know if you guys know, if it pulls from the actual news app on the iPhone, is that where it gets its sources from?
No.
Because I spent a ton of time cultivating that app to show me exactly what I want. Because I have an Amazon Echo here, and they have a news flash or a news brief or something like that. But the Echo app is kind of it's sort of finicky sometimes and hard to customize. But I've put a ton of time into that news app on my phone. Mm-hmm. So my question, I'm going to try to figure it out, is if I can get this new feature with Siri to pull from that news app and give me exactly the stuff that I've already cultivated instead of just what it thinks I might want. Because sometimes my tastes are a little bit strange, but
I think, Mike, it's pulling from the Apple Podcast, and whatever Apple Podcast has hands to it, I'm assuming Apple curated, choose whatever they want. So, I mean, I don't know what you got, but my Hourly News, it'll say like CBS News on the hour, and it will do that one. It will pull that one, or
that
NPR on the hour.
Yeah.
And it works beautifully. And you just, what's in the news? And you just listen to NPR news right there. I was like, oh my God, this is, I know it's trivial as this is, it's just so minor, but to me, it was such a big thing that if it reduced another app, all I have to do is ask for the news. It's just, I really like this new feature.
Anytime they can take a bunch of flips and taps and stuff out of the process and just replace that with asking one single question, I think that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
I haven't actually tried it. I've been too busy sending out iMessages with codes built into them.
Well, you know, I believe this only works right now, and I'll make that clear. I believe it only works for those in the States, United Kingdom, and Australia at this time, I believe. And, of course, in those countries, they will have different sources. So, obviously, NPR isn't going to be on their top of the list. When I ask the sport news, it will pull my ESPN as the primary. And music, I think that'll be worldwide because it pulls from Apple Music. It sounds like it's more of a Apple Music Beats cover what's in the news of music when I was listening to it.
Would you like to demonstrate that as long as we're talking about it, or do we not do demonstrations?
I don't have one hooked up. Do you have one hooked up?
I don't have one hooked up to the mixer, but we could just do it on the fly.
Sure. If you want to hook that up and we'll give people some example of what it's like, that'd be fantastic.
So what's the code word?
The code word is what is in the news.
What is in the news? Oh, my phone's getting hot.
Here's the latest news from NPR. Or if you prefer, say, hey, Siri, switch to Fox News, switch to CNN, or switch to the Washington Post instead. Live.
Whoops. Well,
it would have worked.
Hey, see?
Switch to NPR.
From now on, I'll play the news from NPR.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Donald Trump says...
All right, that's pretty hip, man.
I like Isn't that cool?
I like that. That's nice.
Well, thanks for the demonstration. See, this is what happens when we do things live and do things on the swing. That is so cool. That's what I love about it. So now, yeah, so I got rid of hourly news and made room for this new Siri feature for this HomePod thing that's coming out.
Speaking of HomePods, anybody here want to get one of these devices, or are we not interested?
I'm interested, of course. Anytime there's something new, I'm like, I kind of want that, even if I don't need it. But I don't know. I said that about the Apple Watch. I'm never going to buy that. That's dumb. And then I went like to the store and saw it and like felt it and walked out with one. So I'm not going to make any promises. I might end up with one.
Well, if you do, you know where to demonstrate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I said the same thing about the Apple Watch. And I have the Series 3. And I just adore the thing. I really do. It's great for my workout. And see, what have I lost? Like 7 pounds because of it, I think.
Nice.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Or maybe it's the 7 pounds of candy that I took out of my pocket. But yeah, it's been a great, great watch. I've made phone calls on it. Siri works. It just works.
Yeah, for you guys for the listeners out there that haven't heard the news, the HomePod is you can now order it, and it'll be coming out in the first part of February. But it comes with a hefty price of $349. Yeah. And, yeah, you know, at first I was thinking to myself, good God, no, I am not paying $349 for something that looks like that can be used like an Amazon Echo or a Google Home. However, you know, I thought about it and, you know, it's like you two, you know, at first when I thought the Apple Watch, it's like, no way. But, you know, the more and more people I hear, they've all been down that path and say, I don't know if that's viable, but in the end, when you start to use it, it's like, this is really fantastic. And I tell you, all the things I've been reading about the HomePod, there are some pretty slick stuff to it. I mean, you know, Apple isn't going to sell us something that's going to be cheap speaker system. My understanding, this is going to be a really, really fantastic stereo. This is how I'm going to rationalize it to people. You can't compare it to the Amazon Echo or the Google Home because this was designed for immersive music experience on a very good stereo system. And it's not just a stereo system. It is a smart stereo system. So it's a smart device. Obviously, it will have Siri into it. Obviously, you can do just about anything you can do with Amazon and Google, of course, you know, ask about certain things or play this music and stuff. But, you know, at first I was like, I don't know. So I thought about it and I use a sound bar and I love my sound bar. We play music on it all the time. We listen to our movies on it. But from what I understand, this is really kind of a top-of-line deal. Like, it really will sense your environment as your room and retune the define how the music is being put out. And they really rave on the directional. And so there's tweeters all around this thing, and I guess it points in the direction where they think you're coming from, so it will sound more directional to you. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. And the more and more they, you know, this is kind of a new thing, and none of us really had the chance to get our hands on or anything, but I'm just hearing little things. And one of my favorite, I thought about you, Randy, is that you ever thought about, and I never even thought about this, if you're at a party, if I'm at your house and you have this Amazon Echo, I never thought about people going up to your Echo and just like jacking with it and ordering things. And I could see you doing that at my party.
I've had that happen.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. It didn't actually get ordered, but my wife got on her computer, went to Amazon, and was like, why is my cart full of these very questionable items?
Oh, my God.
So I had to explain what happened. yeah, that's definitely an issue around here.
So I hope you have a very understanding wife.
yeah, you know, she thought it was hilarious once I explained. Like, that wasn't me. I'm not planning anything. That was somebody else.
Oh, that's awesome. So I guess that's one of the examples. So you can mute it during parties, so nobody can be messing around with your device that you didn't want them to. And you can also tie it up with your iPhone and a location beacon. So when you leave home, and if you live in an apartment and you got some, you know, conniving trickery or little people in your apartment that might like, hey, I wonder what their text is. Let's send a text and start doing some, you know, some joking around, sending fake texts and stuff like that. But apparently when your phone is away, it knows that you left and it will lock it up. And you, the other people can still ask questions and do things, but they can't access your private stuff like your notes, your messages, and stuff like that.
I don't want a HomePod. I don't want a HomePod. I don't want a HomePod.
yeah, I'm having the same problem right now.
So there's a few little things that really kind of make this kind of cool, and obviously it has a little touch base at the top where one tap it plays your music, and double tap goes fast forward. I think it's triple tap makes you rewind. I don't know what the exact tapping is, but there's just so many things. There's like six microphones across around the thing, so I'll be able to sense and hear you better. But man, $349. I just might. I told myself I wouldn't get an Apple Watch because I just haven't figured out a way. But you know, hearing from you guys, I'm getting closer to that. But it's not out of the question, so I am thinking about a HomePod. So that's pretty much what I was thinking.
Yeah, me too.
See, today we are seeing these smart stereo component systems. Whether you know, back in my time, we had hi-fi systems that you know, you'd consoles that sat on the floor and they weighed 250 pounds, and then they went to a portable system, and now we're seeing all of these quote-unquote smart hi-fi systems. We don't see a regular, you know, hi-fi system anymore. We're seeing home speakers that just sit on the floor and you interact with them, and I'm wondering what kind of effect this is going to have on the Google systems. I mean, we are seeing right now, like in my home, for instance, I've got
130.
Three or four dots. I can't even keep track of them. I think I've got three dots, one Echo, and on my Sonos system, they, using the Sonos One speakers, they're fully interactive with the Echo lady, you know, the A lady. And I'm saying that so we don't set off people's systems. So all over, literally, this is the truth. I can say, you know, I got to be careful. Alexa, what is the time? And the Sonos speakers mounted on the rear portion of my home theater, it's loud, and it'll say, you know, it will interact with whatever I say, but it's louder and clearer than any Echo device that I've ever heard. So I've got so much smart stuff here that I just don't think my desire to have one of these home pods would fit in. Well, first of all, I wouldn't be allowed to have it, I don't think.
Well, so that's the thing. I totally agree with you, Randy, is that, you know, we were thinking about getting Amazon Echoes. Yes, I'm probably one last person on this planet that haven't gotten Amazon Echo, because we've been discussing, like, what are we going to use this for? But, you know, we order a lot of things from Amazon, I was thinking. you know, this wouldn't be a bad idea. And
now, wait a minute. You don't have any Echo products in your home?
No, I don't. Believe it or not.
That ends this podcast. I'll see you guys later.
So, yeah, I mean, so like you, for example, I can buy an Echo for $100. And if I want to buy a souped up speaker like yourself, I think that was $200, right?
No, my Sonos system, my play bar was around six. Well, I bought it used. I got a great deal on it. But my rear speakers were like $199, and they have built-in Echo support. But that's $199 each. So you can see where this is going. It's quite a bit.
But the question is, if you need the music, you can pay cheaper for just as good of a stereo quality on a different speaker system, right?
Yep.
But see, you guys are thinking about this just a little bit the wrong way. You need to get one of each. That way, when you leave the house, they'll have somebody else to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, the Google can talk to the Echo, and the Echo can talk to Apple. You know, they need to communicate.
Well, I was watching on YouTube that they have, that somebody actually, have you seen those, Mike? Those YouTube
videos? No, is somebody doing that?
Google will talk to Echo and vice versa, and they have this conversation, and then it morphs into these weird electronic conversations that don't make sense.
That's awesome. I'm going to look that up as soon as we're done.
It degrades.
That is awesome.
Kind of like this podcast is doing right now.
Yeah. But speaking of smart devices, but you're right. I mean, everything. I mean, my gosh, it's just like an explosion of smart devices. I mean, I don't know if you guys were watching the Consumer Electronics Show this month, and one of the big announcements was, well, there was a lot of big announcements, but a few just kind of caught my eyes, and a couple of them I was like, are you kidding me? Like, the Whirlpool announced that they're going to have a home kit for the Apple where you can check your washer and dryer. Now, God only knows if this stuff is going to be accessible, of course, but the point is that everything is, I was like, okay, so we got the washing machine. And then one of my favorite, I thought, oh, you got to be kidding me. There is a shower head that you can get that will go in your home kit. You can tell Siri, turn on the shower and set it to 82 degrees, whatever you want. Okay. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And of course, I'm not going to be able to afford any of this stuff, of course. It's going to be pretty expensive. I do own a Nest thermostat, and that's
me too.
Primary reason why I want an Amazon Echo so I can hook that baby up to the Nest.
Mike, I say it works great. I can just stay in bed and turn up the heat and go back to sleep.
No, exactly. That's what I do. I bounce the heat up and down just depending on how cold we are in the room and stuff. But my most favorite, and I thought of you, Mike. I was thinking, surely Mike wants one of these for each of his kids. Colgate has a smart toothbrush. Yes, a smart
How does it work? Actually, I'm very interested.
All right. Supposedly, first of all, Mike, you got to set aside $100 for each toothbrush. Okay. And each of these toothbrush is supposed to be able to tell you how long they've been brushing, which side they use the best, which size, and tell you all the things you're doing wrong and improvements that the parents can check in and say, oh, you didn't brush your teeth long enough, you didn't do this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know, Mike might be a little young for this, but I think Randy might remember this. Do you remember back when we were kids, we were in school, they would give this little dye pill, and we had to chew this pill. And I'd do this once a year, and they just say, smile, now show your teeth. And then you can see exactly where you haven't been brushing your teeth.
Oh, yeah.
And then they show you, that's where you haven't been brushing, you need to do better. And I'm thinking, that probably costs what?
Back further than that. I watched Leave It to Beaver when I was a kid, and if you were considered not to be a brusher, the dad would go over and feel the toothbrush head and say, "All right, you know, you're not brushing." And that's that's how far we've come.
So you too can have a $100 Colgate smart toothbrush for your kids for Christmas, Mike.
I think you're right, though. It might be easier to just get those pills. You get us up. And have somebody else. They could just check each other. They'd probably have a blast looking at each other and be like, look, you did bad over here.
Yeah.
They'd have a great time calling each other out.
Yeah. Oh, man. So,
you know, give it 10 years, 15 years, and everything that we interact with on a daily basis is going to be automated, and it'll be able to send you stats to your email or something like that. And like right now we're still in like this kind of interesting transitional period where we're getting used to doorbells and garage doors and refrigerators. And but I mean, it's only a matter of time before that's just normal. Like that comes with everything that's being built.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I mean,
it's like Star Trek.
Definitely.
It's weird.
I mean, like you said, the doorbell, you can see who it is, your coffee machine or anything. But so I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like Apple had been, I'm going to admit it, have been really screwing up lately here. I mean, my God, last month they had this huge vulnerability, several vulnerability in Mac where the root anybody could access the root access to this thing or iTunes you could just slip in. However, this one I want to bring up because I think it was probably the worst mistake they've ever done. But I'd be curious what you guys have to say about this whole battery debacle that they decide to push out without knowing that they will be throttling your phone if your phone degrade to 80% or less.
Yep.
I have mixed feelings on this. Because on one hand, I don't like the idea that they're just making that decision without telling you. But at the same time, if they didn't do that, these older phones, the battery is going to be dead by noon and you're going to have just as many people upset. So it's kind of a lose-lose situation in a way for them. Like I imagine myself being in their shoes and trying to make the decision. What would I do? And it's kind of a hard choice because either way, you're going to have a bunch of people mad at you. I probably would have gone the transparency route personally and just be like, hey, this is what we do and this is why. So there you go. Just see what happens. But I don't know. And maybe there's details of the story that I don't know, that I've missed out on. But I thought when I first started reading about it, I'm like, it kind of makes sense. I'd rather have a slower phone and have my battery last most of the day than a fast phone that's dead by lunch.
Well, I think the most interesting thing about this, you know, we don't use a lot of high graphical intensive stuff. Where we, I think, maybe fall short is voiceover users tend to use a lot of, we use speech, and that's a big drainer. So I think we'd be a little bit more impeded by that, and have it cut back quicker. I don't know about you, Mike, but or either of you guys, but
Parker Waddington is online.
We all are. I consider us power users with our devices, and I don't care what phone I've got; it doesn't matter. It's drained by the end of the day. I think. You know, a lot of it has to do with speech. But I always plug my phone in at night. It sounds like a blues tune. I always plug my phone in at night. But I do. Every night I plug in my phone, and it's always like, 15%, 20%. And with the, I've got an 8 here. I've had all from 3Gs to 8s, and I've always had to plug them in. So I guess for me, it doesn't really matter. You know, when it streams, I stream music, I Bluetooth the speakers and my watch, and no battery can put up with that kind of hard usage.
So yeah.
At the end of the day, literally and figuratively, I think even though it slows it down, it has to. I think you're right, Mike, because if it didn't slow your stuff down, think of how worse off we'd be. Then I don't care if it slows down. I don't have a problem with my device slowing down because it just, you know, it for me, it doesn't. I don't even notice it myself.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I have both views on this as well, like Mike. And here's the deal. Okay. For one, I need people to understand this, okay? Your phone is not going to last forever because, why? There's this battery in it. And I don't know why people think this battery is going to like last forever because it don't. I mean, it's very much like a car battery. I learned this the other day, and my son's car battery, you know, it was starting to do some wacky things, you know, like the windows wouldn't go up and down, and it was just weird stuff, and I didn't know what was going on. And, you know, we had to get a battery replaced, and by golly, everything worked. And it's just like a car battery. It's going to last so many years. And after so many years, it's going to start to degrade, and it gets to the point where things start to do some weird things, or the car won't start. Why? Because a car, it takes a lot of juice just to start the car. And if the battery is kind of low, it isn't going to do it. Because even though there is battery life in it, it's just not enough. And so that's my analogy to an iPhone is that it's a luxury end phone, okay? It is a very intensive phone, and it works the same way. And once the battery gets start to degrade after 2 or 3 years, that's expected. That's what happens when batteries with chargeable batteries, they degrade. And because it's such an intensive phone, where things start to happen. So, you know, the main reason behind they started throttling was because people were seeing battery percentage being erratic, or it all of a sudden they were 20%, and then all of a sudden the phone just died. And they were just baffled, and they just thought there was a battery problem, as in a defective battery. And that wasn't the case. It was just due to that you have charged your battery so many times. And so 11.2.1, I think, they released some sort of a notification, which I thought was great, that tells you that your battery, you know, we notice your battery is getting kind of weak, and we recommend you get a service and replace the battery. And so I thought that part was good. However, I can see why people were getting kind of pissy about it. I mean, my gosh, there's over 40 lawsuits against them on this, and a number of countries asking about this. Why did you do this? Because it does throttle down your phone quite a bit. It really does. It really does slow down your device. From my understanding, what I've been reading, it does slow down the phone dramatically, and that would explain some of the lag. And you know, if I want to go swipe, 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 swipe with my voiceover, and I'm noticing some significant lag, yeah, that can be baffling. But I wish they had this power management there all along, so we know when to replace a battery. And since Apple was grateful to at least knock down the battery price to what, $30 now to replace it, and I think that's good until the end of the year. So I see both sides. I see some people wanting to say, "Don't tell me what I need to do." I want to make that decision. And I guess Tim Cook said in 11.3, the power management will be back, and you will be able to flick on or off if you want the power management to be on. But end of the day, if I notice my phone is that low, I would pay the $30 to make it be snappy again. I mean, that's just my two cents on that.
I mean, I'm the kind of person that already have a hard time when a new phone comes out. I have a hard time not like, I need to buy that right now. So it's not really ever been a major issue for me. But I get it. And they, like I said, they probably should have just kind of done the transparency thing from the beginning. Like, hey, this is what we do. This is why. And then you wouldn't have all these lawsuits and things flying around. And I'm sure there's at least a certain percentage of those people that are like, hey, we might get some free cash out of this. Let's just throw a lawsuit at them.
Yeah.
I don't really care, but let's just jump on the bandwagon because Apple's number one. So let's get some money.
Well, think of it this way, Mike, is that you just hit it on the head. You, me, and Randy, we always buy the phones within a year or two. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of people in the United States and mostly worldwide that are just now getting in their hands for the first time an iPhone 6 or a 5S. And God only knows if that battery's ever been replaced, and if it has not, then they're going to be coming with those degraded batteries. And so I understand as a whole, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
And then, and if it wasn't good enough about this battery debacle, and then we have some very interesting news about this Meltdown Inspector flaw. No, I'm not talking about Snow Meltdown or Snowball Meltdown or even the James Bond Spectre group, but I'm talking about the Meltdown Inspector flaw that you can find in these processors that have been around for eons, decades, that is just now surfacing, that is becoming a major problem. And at first, people were pointing all their fingers at Intel. And I was thinking, oh, God, my Windows computer, what's going on with it now? But it also affects the Mac. And later to find out, it affects almost all the processors, including the ARM chip that we find in iPhone. Yep. And for those that don't know what it is, it's a fundamental design flaw that were put into the processor to, you know, to make it easier for the processor and make it go faster. But it's a fundamental flaw where all the information that you just sent to the processor gets processed and then it stores it into a kernel area, this cache area. So I'll just think of it like I send a message to my brain to say the password is such and such, and then it computes it and then it comes back and I said, oh, the message is such and such. But the memory gets put it there, so we'll just think of that memory as a cache. So somehow somebody was able to figure out to tap into that kernel cache and weed through all the things that you have done. So that include passwords and all that stuff. And to make this all complicated and most difficult, this is a processor flaw. How are we going to patch a processor that we already have? And it turns out they have to patch it by the kernel of the OSs. And a lot of the fear that people had was when you put this patch on, it was going to slow down your device dramatically. And I don't know if you guys heard about this flaw. And of course, this is getting a lot of lawsuits as well, all over the board. And what your thoughts is on this?
Well, I patched mine, 3 weeks ago when they were talking about this. And it hasn't affected my phone any, but you know, no matter how you look at it, you're always going to find, at least if you're watching the lists that we're on, or if you follow tweets or whatever, you, no matter what you get, you're always getting these individuals that are saying, it makes me kind of laugh, but it shouldn't. But they say, should I update my phone? They're just afraid to update it. And so there are those of us that just go ahead and update it anyway, because we should.
Yeah.
But I don't have a. I mean, I'm glad that they're figuring out patches for some of these things.
It's a constant cat and mouse, yep, right? The hackers versus the good, yep, guys, or however, whatever kind of labels you want to put on them. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of part of it. This one is just a big one, and kind, mm-hmm, of in an area that hasn't really been. I mean, they thought it was fine. They nobody ever thought like that, like where this stuff is happening would be an issue. And I've read some articles about it, because I'm not a highly technical person. I can't build you a computer and build an OS for it and all that kind of stuff. But it sounds complicated. And whoever figured this out, first of all, is probably a pretty smart guy or girl, and they're going to figure out another one in a little bit. And I guess just kind of the nature of owning technology, and it's a risk everybody takes. You put anything on the computer and then stick it on the internet, that's a risk. And you know, updating is part of how you prevent those risks. And that's really, that's all you can do. Other than, yep, not use it, don't get on the internet, you need to update. And you need to, at least to an extent, be prepared for the potential of having somebody get your stuff, because that's just the world we live in.
True. But some of the problems that I thought about this as I was just sitting down, just pondering about it. And here's the problem. And this is why a lot of people are having some issues with it. Now, if you own a pretty relatively new computer, I'm talking like a nice, pretty fast, zippy computer and smart devices, like your Fire Phone, you're not going to see any kind of a huge impact. At first, they thought they were going to be like a huge impact, from 5-30% slower. And that didn't really turn out to be on these faster devices. However, this is where it starts to fragment a little bit. The fragmentation is kind of substantial because, for example, the iPhone, the patch is only good for those that are running 11.2.2. I think that's when they patched it. And so if you have an older device, like 10 or something like that, you're going to have this vulnerability, and it could happen. I think it's going to be rare, but it's there. And so even if you do run 11, my understanding on the iPhone 6 and slower, that it's early on. I haven't seen too many results, but I have heard it does take a pretty good chunk impact. So, I mean, on top of the battery slowdown, and now we're going to deal with this Meltdown Spectre problem slowing down the devices. So my concern is people with older devices starting to get all these things, and it's affecting them the most. And that really bothers me. Mm-hmm. And what also bothers me is that who is being left out? So let's just think of my Windows. We'll talk about the Mac. The patches, my understanding, has been patched up for High Sierra, Sierra, and El Capitan. But anybody before that, you're not protected. And you know how many Mac users I know that have older Mac? And that's the same for Windows. I mean, not everybody. There may be still some people with Windows 7. Now, I don't know if Microsoft made any.
XP is still being used, believe it or not.
I know.
Isn't there a lot of businesses that have like, I mean, because my mother-in-law used to work for a trunking company and they had some custom-built software that only ran on XP. So they've just not updated because like this is the only thing that we have. This is how we run our business. We can't. But again, they're willingly taking a pretty substantial risk by not investing in the future. But again, that's kind of the nature of this game, of this technology world that we live in, is speed and security. And I mean, there's always that kind of constant flip-flop.
Yeah.
A lot of it comes down to kind of personal preference. How risky are you willing to be? Do you want to take chances to have a faster phone or not? I mean, I know a lot of folks that jailbreak and willingly take that risk because of the little bit more freedom that they get to experience doing that. And I don't know. I mean, it's for me, it's kind of part of the fun of all of it is because, I mean, we have the, at least to an extent, we have choices to either do it or not do it and, you know, get better things potentially and maybe lose some stuff. It's almost like gamble in a way.
Yeah, it's this particular flaw is not something that's like difficult to do, my understanding. It just takes a web browser and you just surf to something that has JavaScript and boom, they can read kernel. I believe it's that simple.
I need to reread it now because I could have sworn I read on, I don't remember which website it was. It might have been TechCrunch or Gizmo, one of those two, that they said if they have physical access to your computer, you're obviously pretty done for. But to do it remotely was exponentially more difficult.
Really? Like
they didn't say it wasn't possible. Yeah, and I'll try to find that article specifically. But that one said that remotely it's much more difficult. If they have your computer, then all bets are off. But that's something we've all kind of known anyway, so.
With that said and done, I mean, they kind of sort of make you have to update to these patches anyway. And
with my Windows computer, I always get update prompts. Like every time I open the lid, it's like, hello, update now or in an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. And then one last thing that I think Apple's been getting kind of pummeled on. And now this one, I just couldn't get behind this, but I don't know if you guys heard about these Apple investors. They were all over Apple's going, you know what? You guys really, really need to do a better job about privacy control, parenting control for our young ones because, you know, they've seen a 30% jump in anxiety, depression, stress, and suicide is going up and things like that. And they want Apple to do better in limiting their ability to use certain social platforms and phones and stuff and limit it. And they want more controls. And I'll let you guys weigh in on this one, what you guys think before I weigh in. But have you read about that and heard about that?
I have. And I mean, part of what the kind of plan with this show is for us to just talk about what we think and not give like a pitch and try to be neutral. And I think, I mean, and you guys feel free to let me know, you and the listeners both, let me know what you think, whether you agree or not. But this is kind of ridiculous. This is like a related kind of thing. I just read an article from Lifehacker about how Tide needs to make their bottles more secure so teenagers can't eat Tide Pods. And for me, I'm like, no, as a parent, I should just teach my kid to not eat Tide Pods. As a parent, I should be paying attention to what my kids are doing and not send them to bed with their phone in their hand. It should not be up to a company to parent my kid. That should be up to me to parent my kid. And I just don't understand why necessarily the blame. Like, I get having some parental controls because I don't want my 5-year-old to be able to look at porn or something like that. Like, there are absolute reasons for it. But it shouldn't be up to Apple to be like, okay, my kid can look at Facebook for 4 hours a day. You know, whatever the case may be, like, that's my job. I'm not going to turn my parenting over to a company. That's just how I feel about it, though.
No, I would agree with that. My grandson is 4 years old, And unless he has, and he's got an iPad. I mean, I didn't buy it for him, and that's where this conversation is going to stop. But but he has access to a tablet. Excuse me, it's not an iPad; it's a tablet. But nonetheless, if it weren't taken away from him after, let's say, an hour's use or whatever, he just wouldn't do anything else. He'd stare at it, and that's my job, to take him outside and to do whatever it is that you do with a 4-year-old child. And I guess what may happen, and this has happened because of battery life. You know, he uses it so much, it just goes down. That's kind of parental control, I guess. But
yeah, right. Apple just don't charge it all the way.
Yep. And Apple, you know, I mean, I could kind of see, you know, just having it run for a certain amount of time and shutting down. But the rest of it's up to you, you know, as an individual parent.
I agree. Yeah. We have old phones that my kids get to play on, but they have to earn screen time by doing schoolwork and chores. Like, they don't just get it.
Right. Yep.
They have to earn it.
Yeah. I was just totally flabbergasted when I read about this. I was like, why are you doing this? This makes no sense, because I, just like you two, it really comes down to parental and education to parents that it's not Apple's responsibility to do everything for you. Okay, your parenting is going to have to come involved. Education is going to have to be predominant when it comes to the stress and depression and suicide. The education can have to be pushed out to school. They're going to have to be pushed out to parents and things they can do to help their child, which is the biggest factor here. I don't think one thing that Apple can put into this control is going to solve that problem. And, you know, when my kids were younger, we used to have something called parking lot. And that is the top of my dresser. Every evening at 9 o'clock, the phones find their ways to the parking lot. And the parking lot is where we take the phone and charge it for the night. And they don't have it with them. And of course, on top of that, we made sure we have Facebook access and access to their text messages. Mom would read the text messages at the end of every night, make sure everything looks good. And we check the Facebook to make sure, you know, call us strict or whatever you want to have not. We were just wanting to make sure, and not so much what they're saying, but so much of their mental
saying,
health.
They're saying it too.
Yeah, it's just. I don't want them to be being bullied or having negative thoughts about their life and stuff like that. And you know, as a responsible parents, we try to help them out. And one of the people behind this were saying, well, we know it takes more than just Apple to do this, but we picked on Apple because Apple is a leading innovator, and it would take Apple to do something, and hopefully that other people will follow along. I've heard this so many times. It's like, really?
Yep.
I think Google is just as big. I think Microsoft is just as big. I just don't get why people keep thinking Apple's going to do everything.
Because they have the most money. I do feel like a lot of these problems come down to that. Like, Apple's making more money than anybody, hand over fist, and people just want to get into that however way they can. But yeah, like you guys said, I think the issue here is just people not being involved with their kids.
It's just you know, that's just normal. My sister is a teacher, and she says she has problems all the time with these kids. And why? It's because those parents just didn't care. They just don't have any input in their lives, and that's where the education comes in. You know, my sister has to try to make the education to that child and try to do it from that end. You know, it's not going to be the phone that's going to do it. It's just a multiple of things. But it's kind of a sad thing. But you know, Apple's been getting a lot of pummeled for a lot of things. But Apple's did one thing that's really cool this month. I was really excited about, and I hope I will see this more and more. Hey, have you guys seen this new feature in App Store that if you go under apps, under the app tab, there's a new category of try it. Try it now.
Ooh, for free.
That is so cool to try it now. How this works to the listeners out there is that any app that has a subscription that you have to pay on a monthly basis, you know, you're pretty apprehensive like I am. I'm not going to try something to pay for something. If I can't try it. And I think this is a great start on Apple's part of taking an app and have some subscription base and try it for a month and see if you like it. I can see a lot of potentials with this. Let's just say Seen Eye. You know, that's like, what, 80, 60, 80 bucks a month? Wouldn't you rather have the option to try it for a month to see if that works for you?
Is it really
that much?
See
how much you need it? Is it really that much? I haven't even looked.
Yeah. And then like, well, maybe I'm being a little high, but yeah, it's 50, 60 bucks a month, I thought. Yeah. Or I'm sorry.
I don't even 50, have 60 to try
bucks
it.
A year.
I don't, sorry,
50, I don't, 60 bucks a year.
I don't even have to try it. I already know I don't want it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Think, it's not per month. You're right. Yeah, I think it's per year.
Oh. But okay, that changes things. But this is one of those things that when I saw, I'm like, why hasn't that been a feature forever? That right. Like now looking back, I'm like, oh, that's a no-brainer. That's a smart thing to do because, I mean, the way I learned about this was I got an email from Apple that was like, it's something about starting your free trial. And I thought, well, what is this all about? And I open it up and it's like Disney Junior, blah, blah, blah. So I go to my wife like, what is this? And she's like, oh, yeah. I did that. So I didn't know it was a thing until I saw that email. But they like I think it's brilliant because you have to go and try these things that otherwise the price point might be that barrier to entry that you're never going to take that initial jump because you might not know how much you'll use it or how effective it is or whatever the case may be. But this gives you that little, you know, you get to dip your toe in and see if you love it enough to make that full-time purchase. I think it's a great idea.
Well, you know, our Android user will say, we've always had this feature. And I will say, you're totally right. And I love that feature.
Yeah.
If they can just implement that to actual apps, hey, let's try the app that even don't have a subscription. Oh my gosh. You know how huge that would be for us as a blind community because
if it's not accessible, we just simply we can't use it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant. That was brilliant. Now, on to some other really cool stuff in the news. I thought on AppleVis, there's a guy, I'm sorry, there's a user by that goes by the name of Big Cat. And Big Cat left this tip on the site I had no idea exists. And I thought it was totally, totally brilliant. And it was probably one of the best tips I've received in many months. This is had to do with the emoji when you use within your message app. So I know when I type in, I love pizza, okay? And if I'm on the word pizza, the suggestive word down there may give you an option to replace pizza with the emoji. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. But what Big Cat was saying is that if you typed out all in a row, so if I say, my dog loves pizza, okay? And I go to the right of the keyboard where there's the other type of keyboard and double tap that to the emoji. And now in that emoji, use your rotor and rotate until you hear emoji. That's a new option in the rotor. And if you flick down, everything in that sentence or message that you typed, everything on there that can be replaced with emoji is listed. So you have my dog loves pizza. So the dog obviously has one. You double tap on dog. And then love has one for the heart. And then pizza has one for pizza. So you can just double tap on any of those options and it'll automatically replace it on the fly. And I thought, oh my gosh, I had no idea this was there. Did you guys know about this?
I remember seeing that like emoji replacement thing in the rotor, but I was always in the middle of doing something on it. And I remember thinking to myself, no clue what that is, but I'll go back. And then
you're
I just
too
forget
busy
to go back.
Pizza, right, Mike?
Yeah. My hands are all greasy. I'll check it later. But I didn't know that's what it was. That's actually kind of cool.
It's kind of cool.
It is.
Yep. On the other hand, though, I can say I love pizza and have it sent before I'm into the rotor and looking for all my. That's what, for me, for a lot of these emoticons don't really do it for me because. I got to be honest with you guys. I really have good luck with my dictation for the most part. I don't know why, but I just do. And maybe it's the way I speak. I don't know. I'm not sure. But anyway, I just speak really clearly. But
well,
by the time you guys are done flicking and twisting your rotor control, my message is already sent.
Well, let me just say this. I don't know how many young people you interact with, But like when my kids play on those old phones that we have, I just get strings of hieroglyphics from them.
And oh, no doubt.
It's easier sometimes to respond in hieroglyphics so that they could just get the point.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird because one of my kids is, she's six and she can read, but sometimes, you know, sometimes it's a little bit slow and it's strange because I'll just get a string of emojis that make perfect sense. But when she tries to type, they make no sense. And so I'll just send her back some emojis and then she'll come down and be like, oh, it's dinner time. Like she'll totally get it. But I do kind of agree with you on at the same time. I don't do that with normal people, just with my kids. I hardly ever use emojis.
It's kind of like, isn't it, the analogy when your kids were growing up, at least with my son when he was growing up, and he couldn't tell the time, you know, with a regular watch or a clock with hands on because of the way the hands were pointing. He had to see the digital numbers. So I can see where this is happening, but my son and his friends and, you know, quite a few people that I do know who are sighted, they throw emojis in, but they're using dictation as well. And it's just easier for them to send than it is to try to pick out emoticons. But what I will say is that when I interact with a lot of sighted people, they're just picking out emojis. But God, VoiceOver works with them, but it just says everything is like, God, just send text. Maybe I'm old fashioned.
Yeah, when there's a whole string of them, like I'll look at my Instagram account and there'll be like seven words and then 45 emojis. It does get excessive, but I honestly, I'll probably use them more with this thing now that I know what it does.
Well, at least one just because I can. You like pizza.
Yeah.
Well,
who doesn't like pizza though? Let's be honest.
be careful with that. And I'll get back with that. Is that, well, first of all, I agree with you, Randy. I mean, for us, it's just simple. It's just text it, you know. But I get jealous sometimes because, you know, all my family members are sighted and they use emojicons like it was nothing. The emojis everywhere. My kids use it. My wife uses it. And I just want to be part of that. And I get it. And some of these kids or young adults that want to be. They want to be included. They don't want to be separated out. They want to be like them, and they want to be able to use emoji. And the problem is that, have you seen this list of emojis? There's hundreds, if not thousands.
Exhausting.
And it takes me forever, and I just gave up. But this tip, and why I love it so much about it, I could just type something up and just go back and just replace my dog loves pizza with a dog. Now, I did get a little carried away. I did try it with my son. I sent a dog face with a heart and a pizza slice. And he wrote back. He says, what? I said, dog loves pizza. Dad, you're killing it. Stay away from emojis.
See, but that's how we fix this. That's how we go back to people using words instead of hieroglyphics, is we as parents and grandparents need to start using them. We just need to make it not fun. It's like Facebook. Facebook's not cool for kids anymore. Because we ruined it. So let's just ruin emojis really fast, too. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
But nonetheless, I thought the tip was really cool. I thought
it was an interesting tip. Yep.
And for young adults or kids alike that want to be more involved without spending 20 minutes just sending a text message, it will speed things up a little bit.
And sometimes it is just funnier to use a face instead of a sentence.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's just those times in a conversation where you're like, you know what? The poop emoji is all I need to send right now.
That's right. The pile of poop.
Who doesn't use tongue sticking out? You know?
Yeah. Sometimes there's just situations where you need an emoji.
But have you guys noticed in movies and things like that? Are you guys, and it's, my hearing is good. I mean, I have no problems with my hearing at all. But have you guys noticed in movies people are becoming more mumbly? And the text just, the voices just aren't, the words are not articulated as they should be. And I think it's a lot of this, a lot of these emojis and stuff that are creeping in. And people just like have forgotten how to, a speech pattern, you got to admit, over the last 10 years has gotten a lot more, a lot different to use than it has, say, 30 years ago. I mean, I look at these TV movies now, and they're, for me, they're just It's like, I think I'm forgetting how to understand English, or they are. And I think, you know,
it's evolving without
it
you.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Randy. I think in some perspective, I think 30 years ago, I think articulation was kind of a big deal. That's how we communicate with people, and that's but times have changed, as in the way we communicate, and all these new slangs and words and different things, they don't really quite articulate as well as they used to. I've noticed that. I still think there's still a few people out there that can articulate really well, and I think there has been some setback in other people, but I don't know. I'm not sure if I really noticed it in movies, per se, but that's a great observation. I'll have to kind of keep an eye on.
I'm going to pay attention now just to see. I'm a mumbler. I have to like be very aware of what I'm saying when I say it, or I do that a lot. But that's just me. I've always been that way.
Yeah. Well, there's this great article. I don't know if you guys read last month that Scott Dever made.
Oh yeah.
In terms of, he was asking Marty, the developer of Blindfold, to if he could help him and the deaf blind folks to make their games more accessible for those that are deaf blind, and that specifically used the Braille display. And the problem was with the Blindfold games when originally taken it, was that it didn't work with a Braille display as well as should. I mean, it theoretically kind of worked, but it was really a lot of redundancy, and it was tedious, and it was very difficult to enjoy a game. So my hat's off to Marty. I guess apparently he just released two games this month. He went back to two older games. I think they were Blindfold Wild Hearts and just released the Blindfold Road Card or Trip Card, or he changed the name. It used to be Road Trip, I think it was, but I think it's now Trip Cards. And I think this is a fantastic start. I am so happy that he is listening to the community feedback on this, especially to our deafblind community out there, especially like myself that is deafblind. And the only caveat I have with this and the only complaint I have now is that I'm glad that he went back to fix the older games, and that's great and all, but he just released Blindfold Word Cookies, I think it was, but it's not Braille display friendly. So I was kind of disappointed that he didn't take that and move it forward so all future games that he comes out with, because one is Marty's biggest statement that he made and was that if the wild cards and trip cards made enough money to justify for making those changes, that he would consider doing it to more games in the older package. But if it didn't, my understanding that it wouldn't be beneficial to him. Now, I granted, I understand he's got to make a living, he's got to make a buck, but I just didn't understand why he couldn't just implement this from this point and on for future games, and that way he doesn't have to go back to the older games and worry about it. And as he does the future games, maybe he can raise some money and then just fix things as he goes. But I want to see what you guys thoughts were on. This is kind of a sensitive topic, and a lot of people are on both sides on this, because we have a lot of loyal fans of Blindfold, and I get that, but I also have feelings for Scott and the deafblind community being left behind on this.
I'll be honest, I haven't even played one of these games. I'm not much of a card gamey kind of a guy, I guess, but I have kind of tracked the developments of this story. I know what's going on, and it's a hard spot to be in, because there's a ton of those games out there. I can't code. I couldn't make one of those apps to save my life, so I have no clue how much effort it is to go back and fix it, and how much extra effort goes into making that a constant thing going forward. And he, you know, as a developer, like you said, he has to make money and balance how much work goes into a project and how much he gets out of that project. But one of the things I thought was, him being already kind of intimate with the blind community, you know, people with disabilities already in general. It is kind of surprising that it's an afterthought. You know, I kind of understand that from a mainstream perspective, where people who have grown up and they've never known anyone with a disability, how it's an afterthought with them, maybe designing a website. But somebody who's making apps for blind people, it is kind of a surprise that full accessibility is an afterthought, you know? It shouldn't, my initial thought is it shouldn't need to be staple at the end. It should just be part of it. But again, I don't know how much work that actually takes, so.
Yeah, I don't know either. Does he do this for, and I'm not trying to be insensitive about things, but is this his only means of support?
My understanding is no. This is his hobby. This is his side job.
Well, you know, I can kind of understand it in a way. In a way, I wish things would move forward. But look at all the coding and stuff. I feel that everybody should be included, first of all. I really do. But, you know, how can one do it if he has a job and doing this on the side?
That's part of the problem. Yeah, I faced something similar. As I do another podcast, and I got a request from somebody who is deaf for transcripts. And we put out content every single week. And I have kids, and you know, my wife works, and like there's so much going on. Like, and I don't have the money to just pay someone to transcribe. And I was like, I'll try, but I can't make you any promises because sometimes we barely get these things done and put out in the first place.
I was doing a cooking show called Cooking with the Hazelnuts, and people said, well, you know, this is all well and good, but we want written recipes. And I shook my head.
Yeah.
Because I quite frankly don't have the time. I've got a life, and you know, just like
it can be hard to keep up.
Oh, you can't.
So I can definitely sympathize with him. Yep. And there's a Facebook group I'm part of that he's always posting the new updates, games, and he's like, I mean, he's trying.
Yeah,
he's trying. And
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. It's a tough situation.
Yeah, he's doing a great job, but I can't keep up with myself. You know, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You know, in the end, he is trying, and that's all I can give him. I give him an A for effort, and he's listening. And he is doing it a couple of games, and you know, you guys are right. You know, he's mentioned too. So, you know, what comes next? People with dyslexia, or people with that have motor skills issues with their fingers. You know, you can only do so much. You can't do everybody and everyone.
Yep.
Which is unfortunate, but I get it. I get it both sides of this, and it's been kind of a kind of one of those topics is just kind of you're not, it's just hard to be happy, sometimes you can be sad about it too. It's just one of those things. But the other bit of news and the last news we're going to cover before we get to the listeners' questions is that I want to make an announcement. Do you guys play Dice World at all?
I do not.
I haven't for a couple of months.
Really?
I went to a phase where I was hardcore Yahtzee.
Yeah, well, you just kind of phase out. I'm still a huge Dice World fan, so I've been playing Dice World for, gosh, years. And I've been a friend with the one of the developer of Dice World, he had decided to spin off to his own company now, and he has created a new game called Hubital, Hubodle, I think, Hubital. And it is, I think the concept in this is really fantastic, because what he's doing, instead of submitting separate games all by themselves, he's packaging and bundling games up. And which is one of the complaints some people had, or when Marty got in trouble with Apple, was that people were asking if he could bundle up some of his card games. But anyway, the developer of Hubital, he decided, well, I'm going to package these. I'm going to bundle up these games. So it includes some of these really infamous games that really came out, like World War came out last year. And I'm not a word kind of guy, but inside of this, he has like World War and Battle Cats, and he has Word Builder and Pirate Poker and Blackjack. And now he had made the poker and the blackjack previously last year or so by themselves, but he decided to put them all into one. So you have these various games, and what's compelling about this is, and the reason I bring this up is not just is that the reason he did this is that when you purchase coins or whatever not, it applies to all of the games within the pack. And I thought that was brilliant because I didn't have to buy this game and this set of coin, and I want to go play this game and this coin won't work with that. I have to buy these coins. And this is all in one package. So you buy coins for this. And he has taken so much time to making each one of these so accessible. And I truly love this Hubuto. And one of the things he promised me and promised a lot of people is that his target is to try to release a new game every month on the app. Now, by the way, these games are free. And just like Dice World, you get a lot of these coins and you really can, you know, you got this poker game. If you're pretty good at poker, you probably get a good stash of coins back. Or they do have a free ad. You can watch an ad and it gives you coins and different ways to achieve the coins. So if you guys haven't seen Hubuto, give it a try. Give him the support. And I think that he well deserved. And I love the concept he's doing. I imagine you guys probably haven't tried Hubuto.
No, I have to admit, I am not a game player. I try these games, and this is including in a lot of these 3D audio immersive games. I play them for a little bit. I just don't have the time to play them. I sit in front of the computer doing a lot of editing and podcasting and speaking with friends and doing so many other things. I just do not have time, and I don't play games. I just do not. I'm honestly bored with games. That's just a personal preference. And I had a friend of mine years back that wanted me to play some of these online games, poker and stuff, and he said, "You just love them." I sat down and looked at it for a few minutes. I guess when it comes down to it, my brain doesn't work that way. It doesn't. I'm not that type of a thinker. So I just don't play games at all, period. And I'm glad that there are people out there that enjoy them and love them and everything. My next step would be to try to play some of these games that are machine-based. I think that might be kind of fun, but I might get bored with them too. But who knows? I just, I'm not a game player. That's just my take on it. But I'm glad for those people that do.
I do play games, but I'll focus like on one for a while and then drop it and then focus on another one and drop that one and go back to the first one. Like I jump all over the place. I'm sure I'll be back to Dice World, but I don't have this game, but I did look it up. And like the first or second line, it says in great big letters, 100% voiceover accessible. And that alone makes you want to go get it just to show them support, kind of related to Marty and his work. Like these guys are trying. It might not be perfect, but they're trying. Let's just give them some love.
Yeah, exactly. And just like you said, Randy, not a lot of people are game people, and they got other things they would rather spend their energy in. And I get that. I totally agree with that. But any of you Word people that love Word games or those kind of casino games, definitely check it out. Give it a whirl.
For sure.
I'm going to try.
Yeah, exactly.
Just bad at words. I'm just not good with words. That's my problem. I always try them, like seven little words. I'm like, come on, I can do this. And I'm not good.
Oh, no. I'm just so lucky. I said, man, I
want to like words so much, but it doesn't make any sense.
I want to these games online with computers, I forget the name of it, but the flight simulator games. But here's a grid. Here's a map. You're here. You're there. I crash the damn plane every time. And it's like, I don't get it.
There's a couple games that I'm kind of hooked on right now, and different reasons, different features. But until they come out with seven little emojis, me and word games aren't going to get along.
On that,
yeah, I am with you, Mike. If it isn't fast enough for me, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out where the words are. I want something that's quick, All right, guys. Let's. I'm going to head over to the listeners' questions here, and these are questions that people ask on AppleViz, and I want to ask you guys what you guys think of your own answer, and go from there. Now, here's one from TJT, and this person asks. This person's in a different country, where they do have seen AI, and the country that they are with will be able to purchase them can NFB reader if they want to. But just like any good citizen, they don't want the agency or state to pay something that isn't necessary, and just because it's there, and they want to save the money and whatever and have not. So they were asking between KNFB Reader, CNAI, Envision AI, and Brigo, I think it's called, what OCR app would you recommend and list in order that you think you would have on your device and use the most?
I bought a KNFB Reader, and the only time I've ever used it was just to see if it worked. I've had it since it came out. I use Seeing AI because usually the only time I need it, I mean, I've got side people in my house that, you know, mail, things like that. Like, it's not a need for me. It's just sometimes when my computer's not talking, I'm like, what's on my screen? I'll pull it out and point it at the computer. But Seeing AI, that's the only one I've ever used. I've tried, again, KNFB Reader like twice, but that was $100 that I've not gotten its worth of yet. So I'm not a great person to ask on this because, again, it's not a need for me. It's just sort of a convenience thing.
When I got my retirement funds, I went, oh, yeah, man. It was like the next day I bought KNFB Reader, one of the best things I ever did. And as time grew on, I took a look at this interesting app called Seeing AI. Totally changed everything that I interacted with items on my phone. It took the place of so many other apps. I won't name them, but there are certain apps that I just don't use anymore, including one of the big major players that you just mentioned. But I honestly use Seeing AI as my go-to app all the time. It's like, by the way, Tom, your demonstration of all the tools that were involved with Seeing AI, it was just wonderful stuff. I mean, I knew everything there was to know about the app, but your explanations were great, and I encourage everybody to go on AppleVis and listen to the Seeing AI demonstrations. It was great, and that's the one that I use. As far as the other ones, I use them to demonstrate on my main menu podcast on ACB Radio, if I might be so bold as to plug myself. But I that's the importance. Seeing AI and then KNFB and the other ones right on down the line.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree. You know, here's my list. I put, and one of them wasn't even mentioned, but I have three OCR capable apps on my iPhone. Okay. The first one that I will use every time is Prisma Go. I think Prisma Go is right up there with KNFB when it comes to OCR accuracy, if not equal. That is free. And then below that, I use CNAI, of course, because it's easy. You just pull it out and just take a picture. And I think it does a reasonable, pretty good job. And then lastly, I would put KNFB Reader down towards the bottom. Those are the three I did. Now, I think to give KNFB Reader some credit here. Now, what that is designed for, I think, is going to be really useful for people. Is that if you have a situation where you need to scan multiple things in one sitting,
yep,
KNFB Reader, hands down. If you need something that you need to edit on that app without having to save it, download it, pull it up, modify it somewhere else, KNFB Reader. If you use an OCR heavily and you need something for your job, whatever have not, KNFB Reader, no doubt.
Yep.
However, I'm like you guys. I don't really use OCR all that much. Now, every so often I do. I always just go straight to my Prisma Go and my CNAI. Unfortunately, the KNFB Reader has just been collecting dust, and that's just the truth of the matter. And what's sad is that it was an expensive purchase, and for a lot of us that are fixed income, that's not something we can just go out and buy today. A lot of us, we have to save the money up to get something like that. And, you know, do I have buyer's remorse? Honestly, I do kind of now, because now that Prisma Go and Scene AI, but granted, those weren't even out when I bought KNFB Reader.
Oh, yeah, they weren't even out of.
Right. Like the first week it came out, too.
But, you know, now you're talking to a bunch of new, fresh people that are listening today that don't haven't bought KNFB Reader. I almost said, well, what do you need it for? You know, and that's pretty much my definition of what you need KNFB Reader and why you would even want it. And again, it would be one of those really cool thing if they would have a free to try, but they don't. And is it still $100 or is it down to 80? I have no idea. It keeps going up and down.
I don't know either. Honestly, if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't have made the plunge. But, you know, again, we this was at least 3 years down the line, probably a little bit more. And I would have had a whole lot of mail stacked up, you know, if I would have waited. I don't have a sighted individual at my elbow. Not that your family is at your elbow, but, you know, we're just using analogies here. I mean, I just don't have enough sighted people around to do that. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, you know, even if I did, and this is just me strictly, is that, you know, there are a few people in the house that can see, but I always take my cans or boxes or whatever, and I just do everything myself. And that probably goes back to the battery issue that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I use my phone on my hip pocket all the time for everything, but if I had it to do all over again, no, I wouldn't do it. As a matter of fact, I just encourage people to get the Seeing AI app and go from there.
Just try that and see if it meets the need.
Get something else.
Yeah. All I use it for is like Cards Against Humanity, playing card games with friends, and I don't have to show my cards to them. I just pull that app out and it will read the card for me, and then I go on with my day. That's the only thing I've ever used it for. Mm-hmm. I do it like every week.
I think that all three of us are blessed, though, because we're very fortunate to have people that are sighted in the house, and a lot of those that are trying to be very independent and or single. I don't have that ability to just have somebody in the house read something to them. And so that's why I try to seriously consider about all the different from these questions to ask. I mean, I need to know a little bit more about yourself and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, there was another question that was a good question, and especially to you, Randy, since you were a trainer yourself. Somebody wants to know, what is the art of mastering of how to use the rotor? I know the rotor is probably the hardest thing to teach people.
You know, it's funny. I do agree with you, but I don't. And it sounds kind of like vacillating between one, and especially now in the modern community. I used to say, you know, turn the knob like on a radio dial. And a lot of people understood back when I was teaching.
Yeah. Now people are like, what's a dial?
What's a radio?
Yeah. And, you know, and I still teach. So now I just say, I mean, I don't teach like I used to, but I mean, I still, you know, help people either on the internet or I go into work to do camp for kids, you know, for people that are, well, let's just say that sometimes I was called in to do more difficult cases. And now I have to say, put your thumb and your first finger together and twist them on the screen. I show them with my hand. And then there's so many gestures that you do, you know, for each different thing included in the rotor. It is the hardest thing kind of to teach. But I will say, once they get it down and they know what to do, it's the most coolest and underrated set of gesturing that you can do just to even invoke it, plus get to use other things within that other position that you have twisted to.
Yeah, I switched to Android for a while. Sorry, and that was my biggest complaint. Was like everything that the rotor did on Android took me 10 times as long, and it drove me insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was such a pain. There's all these different gestures, and I spent more time confused than doing anything. And I'm fully back to Apple now, and I'm not, I got no plans to go back, because just that rotor alone, man, right to your emojis, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I teach a lot of people using their iPad for the first time. This is granted, a lot of these people I train have never used an iPhone or iPad for that matter. Mm-hmm. And I get what you're saying about Randy about how it's like twisting a combination lock dial. But the problem I have with a lot of my people is that, you know, it's kind of not that easy of a gesture to use. Now, I know putting the two fingers and turning it is all right, but that's good for about one or two moves. And then you left yourself in some sort of a yoga maneuver. You can't get back out. It's hard to keep to continue. You know what I mean?
Right. But having said that, Tom, do you take the phone out of your pocket and use your rotor and get on with your stuff and it takes you seconds? I'm sure you do, right?
Well, that's only because I teach.
That's
I don't.
Right.
I teach them about how the rotor works, as in with the two fingers. But right. That's not how I teach them how to change rotor. I simply explain this is how it was designed for it. But if you want to make it easier, this is what I do, and I tell every one of my students,
yeah,
is that you put a thumb on each side of the device. So your left thumb is on the left side of the device. And your right thumb is on the right side. And now one finger is going to go up and one finger is going to go down. For me, it's easier to my left thumb to go up and my right thumb go down. And we do this simultaneously. And we just go up, up, up. And it makes using the rotor so much easier than having to use two fingers and your index and your thumb and twisting it around.
Well, you're all thumbs, so, Tom. That's
that's a little bit closer. I don't even use a thumb.
I don't either.
No, I use my like middle and pointer fingers. I've never used my thumb on my rotor. I just use those two and I'll set them down and go swipe.
Yeah.
One down, just like kind of like you were describing.
Wow. Well, how would you guys get something to do quickly? Let's just say I want to go down to headings real quickly.
Well, I do just that, go, then I use my index finger once I'm there to flick down through headings. That's what I do.
Yeah, like when I open a web browser, middle finger down, pointer finger up if I'm using my left hand, and then just swipe down with my finger, and it goes right to the headings.
And that's
if
all.
I use my right hand, a lot of people think I'm giving them.
You got to be careful in public places doing the right hand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, that's the whole point. I wanted to get to that question because, you know, it seems like all of us have different kind of techniques.
Yep.
And. Yeah. That's how I do. I just use my two thumbs and go ta ta ta. And some people do it differently. They do it horizontally. They just put two fingers and just go left and right, left and right. And it's strange. It's whatever's comfortable to you, because this person was asking and they knew about the rotor gesture and they knew about the two finger combination twist, but for some reason, it was very uncomfortable for them, and I get that. Some people may have some hand disability issue that could be difficult to do, and so I thought maybe implementing the two-thumb gesture would help because it doesn't involve moving your hands too much. It's just really just two flicks,
yeah,
by two fingers.
I think the important thing is understanding how it works and what it does, and then just trying out a couple of different things and seeing what gesture, what finger combo. I mean, it might be both pinkies. Who knows? Whatever is the most comfortable for you. Once you understand how it actually works, then you can just kind of mess with it and see what you like.
And in 2 years, things will change. You know,
yeah.
That's the thing.
Don't get too comfortable.
So, and then we got another user that asked a pretty good, a difficult question. And I'm going to test you guys to see if you guys know this. I am curious.
Oh,
I only read about this months ago and I forgot about it until I saw this question. And Sabrina was asking, when we ask Siri to say what song this is and it gets identified, that's cool. And so all these songs have been identified. Do you know how does the iPhone keep a history of all the songs you identified?
Well, first of all, Sabrina is a troublemaker.
I'm going to guess yes. I have no clue where it is. Because usually when I do that, I just push that little button that says open in music.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
That's I've true. Never needed it. I'm actually kind of curious now. Like, I wonder what's in my history.
Okay. Well, here's the answer. I figured it out, and somebody answered it for us. And thank you for the answer, is that you go to your iTunes app, and on the bottom left is the first tab, is the home tab, and towards the top, there's a List. It says L-I-S-T. You just double tap on List. And then one of the options is Siri. You double tap on Siri. And voila. It shows all the history you have asked Siri to recognize. And so you can double tap to listen to the music and to your Apple Music, or you can actually purchase the music right there. Of course, that's the whole.
Well, we both failed the test.
Yeah. See, I mean, it's double failure for me. I don't even know where my iTunes app is on my phone. That's how often I use it. I have no clue where I even put it. It's in there somewhere, but
I always ask Siri open iTunes because I have all my Apple apps that I never use is in an Apple folder, and it's like 22 deep.
Yeah,
stuff I've never even touched, but I'll just say open iTunes.
I haven't needed the iTunes app in, God, I don't even know the last time I actually needed that. Probably pre-Apple Music, I guess.
Yes. Pre-Apple Music, and back when my kids were younger, I used to have to download movies if you're going to go on an air flight.
Yep.
Air trip down to Florida or something that takes a long time, so we have to download some movies. But that was pre-Netflix, you know. Now you got this Netflix. I can just download the movies and watch it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the last time I touched iTunes as well. But, you know, how clever it is for Apple to put that into the iTunes and say, oh, do you like this song? Purchase it for $1.99.
Yeah, right? It's just right here.
Oh, man.
Your hidden iTunes app.
Of course. Okay, guys. Well, that is going to wrap up for the AppleBiz Unleash for January 2018. I wanted to end it with something that's a little different, and I want to get you guys' take. Now, I know this applies to the United States only, but I think there's a lot of NFL fans out there, okay, in the world that follows American football. Now, we know what the Super Bowl is coming up, right? And it's between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots. Who are you guys voting for?
Patriots.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, though, I'm not a football fan. I'm a hockey fan. But I'm a major hockey fan. I could care less about football. But the reason I'm picking the Patriots, and this is not, maybe this is a bit of a different reason. So I'm a pretty heavy Reddit user, and there has been a lot of videos of those Eagle fans, and you guys are crazy. Those Eagle fans are insane. So I'm rooting for the Patriots. Bad reason, but there you go.
Actually, the only reason I have as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm a hockey fan.
Oh, wow. So you're both picking the Patriots, huh?
Yep. I don't like the Patriots. I mean, I don't, you know.
You're being honest, though.
Yeah.
I despise the Patriots. I hate the Patriots. They're like, it's Tom Brady this, Tom Brady that, Tom Brady everything. I'm just so sick and tired of that man.
That name is everywhere.
I am going to pick an upset. The Eagles will win. I'm going to take the Eagles. That they're going to take this home. And you're right. Those Philadelphia people are crazy.
They're insane.
I mean, they're so crazy. Did you see that they end up having to, they thought, okay, how can we prevent people getting all over that field goal? You know,
I did see that.
And so they greased it down. They decided we're going to put a massive amount of grease on the field goal, right? So the game is over. They win. They get upset. And guess what? People are on the field goal bouncing around on that thing. Whether it was greased or not, they got up there and did it anyway.
They need to just go back to barbed wire. That'll help.
Yeah, like some of the soccer games, you know, they had these barbed wires and some of them have little water pits or something.
That you put some traps out there. No. Nothing lethal, nothing dangerous, just enough to slow them down.
Exactly.
Just a moat.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you guys been great. I thanks so much for being on the Unleash, and I can't wait for next month. And I hope our listeners got a lot of chuckle and education of all the things that's been going on in the month. And I hope you guys enjoy watching the Eagles win.
You're going to have to let me know after the fact because I don't even know when this Super Bowl is happening.
You'll find out. You will know. You will hear
I'm
about
sure.
it.
It'll promise. Be on Reddit. It'll be on Reddit. I'm sure I'll find out from there somewhere.
Exactly. Oh, man. All right. Well, you take care, and that is going to do for AppleBiz Unleashed 2018, January, and I am Thomas Donville, also known as Anonymous, here with Randy Rusnak and Mike Malarcy. Thank you, guys. Goodbye.